Okay, so on to scene 8. I'm just recording for anybody who's not here. So scene 8, a long scene, a scene where we see all of the major characters interacting, and it's a scene in which we see the collapse that we've started to observe in Philip really begin to take place and unravel. And we also, it's a scene in which we get to the heart of Sylvia and Sylvia's character, and to the heart of the relationship between Sylvia and Philip. In the middle of all this is Dr. Hyman, and Dr. Hyman, who's trying to facilitate this unravelling of truth. What we discover, or what we feel as this scene goes, is that really Dr. Hyman is way out of his depth here. That there's a depth to this relationship and to this problem that's beyond the doctor, and he finds himself caught up in something that's beyond him. His own flaws and his own failings also come out here. We know that he's very flirtatious. We know that he's a bit of a womanizer, and we see that side of him coming out as well. We'll listen to it, and then we'll ask ourselves the question of where we are at the end of scene 8, and how close are we to discovering the truth at the end of scene 8. So, here we go. That's the Eddie Cantor show on the radio, as it says in the stage
directions. I actually can't stand Eddie Cantor, can you?
Cut it out now. I heard you laughing halfway up the stairs.
I know, but I can't stand him. This Crosby's the one I like, you haven't you?
Oh, I can't stand these crooners. They're making $10,000, $20,000 a week, never spent a day in medical school. Anyway, I'm an opera man.
I never saw an opera. It must be hard to understand a bit.
It's nothing to understand. Either she wants to and he doesn't, or he wants to and she doesn't. Either way, one of them gets killed and the other one jumps off a building.
I'm so glad you could come.
You ready? We have to discuss something.
Philip had to go to Jersey for a zoning meeting.
Just as well. It's you I want to talk
to. There's a factory. The firm owns there.
Come on now. Don't be nervous.
My back aches. Will you help me onto the bed?
Sure. There we go. What's that perfume?
Harriet found it in my drawer. I think Jerome bought it for one of my birthdays years ago.
It's lovely. Your hair is different.
Harriet did it. She's loved playing with my hair since we were kids. Did you hear all those birds this morning?
Oh, amazing, yes. A whole cloud of them shot up like a spray in front of my horse.
You know, as a child, when we first moved from upstate, there were so many birds and rabbits and even foxes here. Of course, that was real country up there. My dad had a wonderful general store. Everything from ladies' hats to horseshoes. But the winters were just finally too cold for my mother.
In Coney Island, we used to kill rabbits with slingshots.
Why?
To see if we could. It was heaven for kids.
I know. Brooklyn was really beautiful, wasn't it? Mm. I think people were happier then. My mother used to stand on our porch and watch us all the way to school, right across open fields for, must have been a mile. Mm. And I would tie a clothesline around my sisters so I wouldn't have to keep chasing after them. I'm so glad, honestly. I feel good every time you come.
Now listen to me. I've learned that your kind of symptoms come from very deep in the mind. I would have to deal with your dreams to get any results, your deepest secret feelings. You understand? That's not my training.
But when you talk to me, I really feel my strength starting to come back.
You should already be having therapy to keep up your circulation. You have a long life ahead of you. You don't want to live it in a wheelchair, do you? It's imperative that we get someone who can...
I could tell you a dream.
Yeah, but I'm not trained.
I'd like to. Can I? I want to. I have the same one every night, just as I'm falling asleep.
All right. What is it?
I'm in a street. Everything is sort of gray. And there's a crowd of people. They were packed in all around. And they're looking for me.
Who are they?
They're Germans.
Sounds like those photographs in the papers.
I think so, yes.
Does something happen?
Well, I begin to run away. And the whole crowd is chasing after me. They have heavy shoes that pound on the pavement, And then just as I'm escaping around the corner, a man catches me and pushes me down.
Is that the end of it?
No, he gets on top of me and begins kissing me.
Yes.
And then he starts to cut off my breasts. And he raises himself up, and for a second I see the side of his face.
Who is it?
I don't know.
But you saw his face.
I think it's Philip. But how could Philip be like that? I mean, he was almost like one of the others.
I don't know. Why do you think?
Would it be possible? Because Philip, I mean, he sounds sometimes like he doesn't like Jews. Of course, he doesn't mean it, but maybe in my mind it's like he's...
Like he's what? What's frightening you? Sylvia, it's Philip, isn't it?
Yes.
I see. I want to ask you a question.
I'm so sorry. Help me, please.
No, I'm trying to.
I know.
Oh, God,
Sylvia. I feel so foolish.
No, you are unhappy. You are not foolish.
I feel like I'm losing everything, like I'm being torn to pieces. What do you want to know? I'll tell you.
Okay.
I trust you. What do you want to know?
Since this happened to you, have you and Philip had relations?
Relations?
He said you did the other night.
We had relations the other night?
But that, well, that by morning, you'd forgotten. Is that true?
Why are you asking me that?
I didn't know what to make of it. I guess I still don't.
You mean you believed him?
Well, I didn't know what to believe.
You must think I'm crazy to forget such a thing.
No, I didn't mean anything like that.
We haven't had relations for almost 20 years.
20?
Just after Jerome was born.
I don't know what to say, Sylvia.
You never heard of it before with people?
Yes, but not when they're as young as you.
You might be surprised.
What was it? Another woman? What?
Oh, no.
Well, then, what happened?
I don't know. I never understood. He just couldn't anymore. You believe me, don't you?
Of course I do. But why would he invent a story like that?
I can't imagine. Could he be trying to...
What?
Make you think I'm going crazy?
No, you mustn't believe that. See, I think maybe... You see... He mentioned my so-called reputation with women, and I think he was just trying to look, you know, I don't know, competitive. How did this start? Was there some reason?
I think I made one mistake. He hadn't come near me for like, I don't remember anymore, a month maybe, and I was so young. A man to me was so much stronger. I couldn't imagine I could, you know, hurt him like that.
Like what?
Well... I was so stupid. I'm still ashamed of it. I mentioned it to my father, who loved Philip, and he took him aside and tried to suggest a doctor. I never should have mentioned it. It was a terrible mistake. For a while, I thought we'd have to have a divorce. It was months before he could say good morning. He was so furious. I finally got him to go with me to Rabbi Steiner, but he just sat there like a... I don't know. I guess you just gradually give up, and it closes over you like a grave. But I can't help it. I still pity him, because I know how it tortures him. It's like a snake eating into his heart. I mean, it's not as though he doesn't like me. He does. I know it. Or do you think so?
He says you're his whole life.
His whole life? Poor Philip.
I've been talking to a friend of mine in the hospital. A psychiatrist. I want your permission to bring him in. I'll call you in the morning.
Why must you leave? I'm nervous now. Can't you talk to me for a few minutes? I have some yeast cake and I could make some fresh
cake. I'd love to stay, but Margaret will be upset with
me. Oh, well, call her. Ask her to come over too.
No.
Well, for God's sake, why not?
She thinks something's going on with us.
Oh.
Look, I'll be in touch tomorrow.
Couldn't you just be here when he comes? I'm nervous, please. Just be here when he comes.
You don't think he'd do something, do you?
I've never known him so angry. And I think there's also some trouble with Mr. Case. Philip can hit, you know? Oh God, everything's so mixed up. But I don't understand. In the newspapers, they write that the Germans are starting to pick up Jews right off the street and putting them in...
Sylvia, I told you...
But you said they were such nice people. How could they change like
this
that?
This will all pass. Sylvia, German music and literature is some of the greatest in the world. It's impossible for those people to suddenly turn into thugs like this. So you ought to have a little more confidence. You see, I mean, in general, in life, in people. What are you telling me? Just say what you're thinking right now. Don't be frightened. Just say it.
You.
Me?
How could you believe I forgot we had relations?
Oh, now stop that. I was only trying to understand what is happening.
Yes, and what? What is happening?
What are you trying to tell me?
Well, what is going to become of all of this?
But what has Germany got to do with it?
But how can those nice people go out and pick Jews off the street in the middle of a big city like that and nobody stops
you them? You mean I've changed? Is that it?
I don't know. One minute you say you like me and then you turn around and I'm...
Listen, I simply must call somebody.
No, you can help me if you believe me.
But I don't believe.
No, you are not going to put me away somewhere.
Now you stop being ridiculous.
What will become of all of us?
Now you stop it. You are confusing two things.
But from now on, you mean if a Jew walks out of his house, do they arrest him?
I'm telling you, just make him arrest.
What do they do with them?
Look, I don't know. Oh. I'm out of my depth.
Why don't they
run
out of
the
country? I mean, what is the matter with those people? Don't you understand? This is an emergency. They are beating up little children. What if they kill those little children? Where is Roosevelt? Where is England? Somebody should do something before they murder us.
Sylvia. You're standing. Sylvia! What happened?
Run cold water on a towel.
What happened?
Do it! Not dear you!
Sylvia. Good. That's it. Keep looking at me. That's it. Keep your eyes open.
Here. There we are. That's better. How do you feel? Can you speak? You want to sit up? Come.
Did she call you?
Well, no, to tell the truth.
Then what are you doing here?
I stopped by. I was worried about
her. You were worried about her. Why were you worried about her?
Because she's desperate to be loved.
You don't say.
Yes, I do say. I want you to try and move your legs. Come on. Just try. It's okay. I'll be at home if you need me. Don't be afraid to call anytime. We'll talk about this more tomorrow. Good night.
Good night.
Huh. That's some attitude he's got ordering me around like that. I'm gonna see about getting somebody else tomorrow. Jersey seems to get further and further away. I'm exhausted.
I almost started walking.
What are you talking about?
For a minute, I don't know what happened. My strength started to come back.
I knew it. I told you you could. Try it again. Come.
I can't now.
Why not? Come, this is wonderful.
Philip, listen, I don't want to change. I want Hyman.
What's so good about him? You're still laying there, practically dead to the world.
Well, help me get up. I don't know why. I feel it can get me walking again.
Why does it have to be him?
Because I can talk to him. I want him, and I don't want to discuss it again.
Well, we'll see.
We will not see.
What's this tone of voice?
It's a Jewish woman's tone of voice.
A Jewish woman? What are you talking about? Are you crazy?
Don't you call me crazy, Philip. I am talking about it. They are smashing windows and beating children. I am talking about it, Philip. I am talking about it!
What? Beating children?
Never mind. Don't sleep with me again.
How can you say that to me?
I can't bear it. You give me terrible dreams. I'm sorry, Philip. Maybe in a while, but not now.
Sylvia, you will kill me if we can't be together.
You told him we had relations.
Don't, Sylvia.
You little liar. You want him to think I'm crazy?
No, no, it came out. I didn't know what I was saying.
I forgot we had relations.
Stop it. Philip. Don't say anymore.
I'm going to say anything I want to.
You will kill me.
I did with my life out of ignorance. of not wanting to shame you in front of other people. A whole life I gave it away like a couple of pennies. I took better care of my shoes. You want to talk to me about it, Philip? Take me seriously. What happened? I know it's all you ever thought about. Isn't that true? What happened? Just so I'll know.
I'm ashamed to mention it. It's ridiculous.
What are you talking about?
But I was ignorant. I couldn't help myself. When you said you wanted to go back to the firm.
What are you talking about? When?
When you had your own, and suddenly you didn't want to keep the house anymore.
And? You didn't want me to go back to business, so I didn't. What was? I didn't, did I?
You held it against me, having to stay home. You know you did. You've probably forgotten, but not a day passed. Not a person could come into this house that you didn't keep saying how wonderful and interesting it used to be for you in business. You never forgave me, Sylvia. So whenever when I started to touch you, I felt that.
You felt what?
That you didn't want me to be the man here. And then on top of that, when you didn't want any more children, everything inside me just dried up. And maybe it was also that to me, it was a miracle you ever married me in the first place.
You mean your face? What have you got against your face? A Jew can have a Jewish face.
I can't help my thoughts. Nobody can. I admit it was a mistake. I tried 100 times to talk to you, but I couldn't. I kept waiting for myself to change, or you. And then we got to where it didn't seem to matter anymore, so I left it that way. And I couldn't change anything anymore.
This is a whole life we're talking about.
But couldn't we? If I taught you to drive and you could go anywhere you liked, or maybe you could find a job you liked. We have to sleep together.
No.
How can this be? Sylvia, do you want to kill me? Is that it? Speak to me!
High drama. High drama. He does a good car trying to start. Kind of cry, doesn't he? Right. As I said, it's a big scene, and it's a big scene because we really begin to dig away at some of the truth in the play, and we begin to dig away at some of the secrets in there. So let's start with that idea of truth being uncovered, because this is a play that slowly picks away at the truth, slowly unravels the truth at the same time as Philip unravels, in a sense. So we'll start with what truths are unveiled here. What do we find out for sure? Well, what truths are spoken between these three characters for the first time that we might have known something about, but that are finally voiced properly for the first time? Shout them out. What do we... Sorry, say it again. The
no evidence found by some of the Jews.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. This conflation. Conflation is a good word to use in this context. If I could find a pen, I'd write it on the board. Conflation. So CONFLATION. Conflation. And the conflation is where you. Two things become so close, two ideas become so close that you can't tell the difference between them anymore. Two things get so confused, it's a similar word to confused, but things become so confused that you can't tell the two apart anymore. Politicians use conflation all the time when they're presenting ideas. So they might say, to use their current example, because we did badly in the PISA international education test as a nation, we have to change our qualification system. So you take two completely separate things, the Wales qualification system and the international education test of education, but you get them so close together that the two become conflated, you can't tell the two apart. It's a politician's trick. In this case, though, what Sylvia has done is to conflate the Jewish issue with her own relationship with Philip, particularly. Until when she's talking with Hyman, the two, she's just moving from one to the other without any kind of sense of moving from one topic to another. They're completely conflated. She doesn't She's got them completely confused as one. Good. So that's one kind of something that comes to the surface. What else comes to the surface? Yeah, Sarah.
I don't know what's happening in the beginning, but at the end of the book, they're ambitious.
Yes. I mean, this issue of Philip and Sylvia's love life is one that's kind of rumbled through the book, and we got a sense right at the start that not all was right in that area. And we got a sense as it's gone that it's worse than Philip's admitted. But now, finally, it's out in the open. What we've suspected as an audience for a while is finally out in the open. We haven't had relations, she tells Hyman, for over 20 years. And that's been a big secret at the heart of their relationship. And it's a secret that's based on all sorts of other things, but it's been a secret at the heart of their relationship that they haven't talked to each other about. Never mind talk to anyone else about. And so that's now out in the open. Truth has been revealed there. Good. What else has been revealed?
Cynthia, fancies
Dr. Hyman. Yeah. The kind of implied flirtation between Hyman and Sylvia in the previous scene, it was more than implied, it was fairly obvious, but it was always just under the surface. Well, now it's not just under the surface. Hyman says, my wife thinks there's something going on between us. They kiss properly. That's Sylvia's move, but they kiss. The attraction between them is now absolutely out in the open. Good. What else is...
The dream.
And what does the dream show us? It shows us that conflation between the Jewish issue and Philip. Because what she's dreaming is the newspaper articles, isn't she? She's dreaming...
It's not just what's happened.
Right. So this is a repeated dream. And what does it show us about her relationship and feelings towards Philip? Yeah. She's afraid of him. A mini dictator, he was described as on earlier in the play.
Is it like a personification? It shows Gerberg's true personality and like dream for showing.
Is it? Well, is it Gerberg's true personality? Because what she's doing there is linking together a Nazi German kind of attacking the Jews on the streets and Philip.
Because he acts in the way he does. He says he hates Jews. He acts like a dictator.
Right. So we're saying that I think we need to be careful about reading too much into the dream in terms of what it tells us about Philip. Because I think we need to make our own mind up about Philip. I think Arthur Miller asks us to do that. But what it does show us is what Sylvia feels about Philip.
Shows that her grass is different to what's happening in Germany. She stands up when she starts speaking.
Good. It shows us what's at the heart of her paralysis. And I think what it shows more than anything else is that her paralysis, her physical paralysis, is caused by her emotional paralysis. Because what I think more than anything else is unveiled in this scene, is revealed in this scene, is Sylvia's deep, deep bitterness, unhappiness, and the sense of paralysis that she's lived with. If you put together what we find out in the scene, or what is made certain in the scene, that she's a young woman who's lived a marriage in which she's had no physical relationship with her husband at all. So that side of her has been completely paralysed. She's had no opportunity, no chance to feel loved, as Hyman would put it. To know the intimacy and the security and the passion of that side of a relationship. So she's been paralysed there. She's been paralysed because Philip insisted that she stopped work and became a house mother, as a Jewish woman would be expected to do. And Philip says it to her, you know, I knew you hated me for it. Sorry.
But he still did it.
He still did it, yeah. No empathy from Philip. That's a really good point, James. No empathy from Philip. He still did it. And we understand that... Go on.
He says it's the connection between the
Good, absolutely, exactly, spot on. It's the connection between the psychological and the physical. Her psychological paralysis, she's been trapped in a marriage, in a relationship, in a life that just, that wasn't her, and she had no escape. You get the sense of Sylvia, don't you? Because Margaret said it right at the start, that she's an attractive woman, she's a woman full of life and energy, and she's been trapped in this relationship with Philip where she was unable to express her Jewishness because Philip wouldn't let her. She's unable to express her sensuality and her femininity because Philip is unable or unwilling to allow her to do that. She's unwilling to go after her business ambitions. She's clearly a talented businesswoman, but she can't do that because she has to stay home and play house because that's what she's expected to do. She's psychologically paralyzed and trapped. And that's expressed itself in her physical